I was waiting on a special this morning, and I thought I was not ready for this. I was wondering, maybe you're like I am, and you ever have a person that you just don't know what to get in the way of a gift for Christmas? Are any of you like that? Well, I was wondering this morning what I would get all of you for Christmas. I think I know what it is that you guys would all appreciate. And it's this. It's this right here. This is the sermon today. This is the complete sermon right here on this little card. And I thought, you know, everyone in here will appreciate shortness of sermon. And so I thought, that's something that, especially Bruce, I know Bruce will love shortness of sermons, but is Christmas to you a day? Or is Christmas to you a person? We answer that question in our lives. You know, quite frankly, we get wrapped up in commercialism too much, don't we? We really do. We get wrapped up in gifts and things like that. And quite frankly, businesses make from Thanksgiving to Christmas their greatest time of the year for selling things. But, you know, I want to just speak for a few moments because I really believe communion is the most important thing that I'll do today. Communion. But when we think of Christmas is Jesus Christ. Complete. That's what Christmas is. It's not a day. We celebrate as Christians every day of our lives. So it's not a certain day. It's not the 25th of December. But it's the very privilege that you and I have today of celebrating Christmas because we celebrate Jesus Christ. And so I just want to, for a few moments, we look at a few verses. First of all, the promise of Christmas. Where did it come from? Take your Bible. I want you to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 15 is the very promise of Christmas. It's the promise of Christ. It's the promise of Christ that God Himself gave to Adam, to Eve, and also the destruction to Satan. Okay? In Genesis chapter 15, we have Christmas promised. Christmas promised. God says, and I will put enmity, that's hatred, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. That seed is Christ. Her seed is Christ. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the promise, that the first messianic promise in our Bibles, that Jesus Christ was going to come into the world, the seed of the woman, the seed of Mary, the Virgin Mary, coming into the world. And this is the very promise of his coming. And so when we look at that, then, this promise that we have, we find the fulfillment of that promise as given to us by the prophets. Take your Bible. I want you to go to the book of Isaiah. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Isaiah. And I want you to go to chapter number 7. Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, chapter number 7. And if you'll look at verse number 14. Therefore, the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is Christmas prophesied coming into the world that God gave to the prophets. And so when you look at that, then we have the Christmas promised. We have the Christmas prophesied. The Old Testament prophets, as we see there, are telling when Christ was going to come, how he was going to come. We find, if you go turn over a page or two to chapter number 9 of Isaiah, you'll look there in verse number 6. Isaiah 9, 6, you're going to find there in verse 6 and 7. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we see the prophecy, the promise. And now take your Bible. I want you to go to the book of Micah, another prophet that speaks of this. Go to the right there, to Micah. You go to Jonah. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. I want you to go to chapter number 5. And looking at verse number 2. Now we've seen the prophecy. We've seen the promise. We've seen the prophecy. But here we not only see who and when and how, but we see where. In Micah chapter 5, verse number 2, he says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth is from old, from everlasting. So we find that we know who, we know how he's come. He's coming by a virgin. We know his name. He will be called Emmanuel, being God with us. That's the same thing that he told Mary. His name, it will be Emmanuel, God with us. And so we see this then, that we see him prophesied on where he's going to be born. We see all of this. We speak of all of this. You've heard the Christmas story over and over and over again about Bethlehem and those shepherds going to Bethlehem. They find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. All of this is a picture of Christmas, is speaking totally and only of Jesus Christ. But then not only is Christmas promised and prophesied, but Christmas is presented to us. You know how it says that in Matthew and Luke, how he is presented. He comes to the Virgin Mary and he says, Mary, thou art highly favored. The Holy Ghost will come upon you and you are going to conceive and you're going to bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Do you guys know the Christmas story? You've got to call his name Jesus, right? He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He's presented. And he's presented in Luke and Matthew both. He's presented as told to Zechariah. He is told to Elizabeth when John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, comes in the very presence of Mary. John the Baptist leaps in the womb of Elizabeth. He's presented to us, and we all know the story of the virgin birth of Christ. You know, there's many today who call themselves Christians who will not accept virgin birth. I'll be honest with you, I can't explain it. I just know it happened. I just believe it. You know, it's easier for me to believe it than to try to disannul it or annul it, get rid of it. God chose to do it that way. We find Christmas being promised and prophesied, and we find Christmas being presented to us in Galatians 4:4, that verse that we said there in your bulletin is that day where he's presented. It's presented. But Christmas provided something for you and me too, didn't it? Provided the forgiveness of sin. That's the reason he came. He came to die. Totally the reason he came. He came to die because he loved you and me, didn't he? Isn't that the Christmas story? Isn't the Christmas message all about Christ's love? And we can look at a cross and we can say it's the absolute message of love. So what Christmas is all about? Have you noticed attitudes change at Christmas? Sometimes they are strengthened in generosity. Sometimes they're strengthened in cruelty. Sometimes they're strengthened in just being angry. You found anybody yet this year that shows a display of bitterness during Christmas? It's becoming more prevalent all the time. Years ago, you remember the Beanie Babies? The little Beanie Babies? And people were going to the store and fighting over the Beanie Babies? I hope there's no Beanie Baby fighters in here. Okay. But Christmas was presented. But that's not all. Christmas is punished. Punished. You see, what's Christmas really all about? What is Christ really all about? It's about punishment. How he was punished so that you and I wouldn't have to be punished. Christmas is about punishment. He came into the world to die. To be punished for the very sin that he didn't deserve, has never committed, but he died for the sin that you and I deserve and have committed. He was punished. Maybe sometimes we look at Christmas and we don't see punishment. All of these are presents that are ours. Maybe we overlook them. He was proclaimed, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Takes away the sin of the world. Whenever I think of the world proclaimed then at Christmas time, I think of the cross and what he said on the cross. It's finished. What a proclamation of Christmas. It's finished. I don't have to suffer anymore for the sin of my life. I give my sin to him and he gives me his son. What Lou Miller always said was the great swap out. But then what is Christmas? Promised, prophesied, presented to us, punished. But that term Christmas means he's provided a way out. A way out. Christmas ought to be the greatest testimony that you and I have to our families at Christmas time. Christmas time, I know we kind of go through something at Christmas time. Grandpa here, he always gets out the Bible and I read the Christmas story about how the shepherds go to Bethlehem. And I can almost recite it by heart now. But you know what? Provided for us. And we ought to proclaim it to others. We really should. There's no greater time to have a testimony for Jesus Christ than Christmas. We can be very Christ-like and should be very Christ-like at Christmas because Christmas is Christ. It's not a day. It's a person. Christ in us, our hope of glory. But that's not all, and I'll finish here with just two more P's. The next one's predicted. Revelation tells us that he's predicted to return. We don't know when. We don't know the hour nor the time, but the prediction is, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, John 14. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, the amazing thing about Christmas is God wants to spend his eternity with you and me. Now you say, God doesn't have eternity. He is timeless. And I have to agree with that. We'll one day be outside of time. Time will be no more. But the amazing thing is, that's when Christ wants to spend it with us. What does the term everlasting mean? Everlasting? Never ending? That's what it really means for you and I. And the prediction is that he said to you, I'll come back and I will take you to myself, and you and I will spend forever and ever and ever and ever together in eternity. That's what Christmas means, really. It's not a day, it's a time of eternal, eternal life. And so when we look at that, what is the last P that we really need to think about? It's this: praise. Praise God that we celebrate Christmas, Jesus Christ. All of the prediction, all of the prophecy, all of the presentation that he was given to us in this Bible. I mean, this is God's love letter, isn't it, to you and me? It's what it's all about. I want you to take your Bible real quick, and I want to show you what's going to take place. Go to the last book in your Bible, to Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation chapter 19. This is when he returns here to this old world for you and me. And he's going to set up his kingdom, a kingdom that shall never end, that we see there in Isaiah, that we read those verses. In Revelation chapter number 19, I want you to look at verse number 11. Okay? Verse number 11. John writes this and he says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel stand in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Christmas, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ here on this whole world, there's many, maybe far more, are not going to really want to see him when he returns, because he's going to judge his whole world with a rod of iron, and he's going to tread the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God and the winepress of Almighty God. But what do we do? Is that for us? Well, most Bible scholars that I read say that we're going to be those that are following him as the army of God, clothed in white linen, white and pure. Some of you better learn how to ride a horse, it says. We're going to follow him, and we'll be with him forever. And that last word, praise. Praise at Christmas time. Praise beyond measure. Praise that he deserves. Praise that you and I have the opportunity at this time to do. Is Christmas a time of praise, or is it a time just of presents? You see, all of these are presents that are ours. Promised? Prophesied? Presented, punished. And there's a prediction that he's coming back. And my hope and my thinking is that it's very soon. I can't see too much longer how this whole world can survive and how our God can put up with all of the evil and the sin that's going on in the world. Have you ever asked yourself the question, the only Christian nation in the world today is America? Think about it. Yes, I know there are a few small countries, mainly in Africa, that proclaim the name of Christ. But they weren't founded on Christian principles. They were founded by missionaries that knew Christian principles. So, what is our privilege then today? Our privilege is for you and me to celebrate Jesus Christ as Christmas. Every day. Every day we climb out of bed. Thank you, Lord, you've given me another day. A day to celebrate. I hope that's you. You know, Christmas, as I make the statement again, Christmas isn't a day. Christmas is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. I'm going to have the deacons come this morning, if you would, please. Come today. And Kyle, will you come also? I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to go to the book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. If you go to Romans and take a right, you'll go to 1 Corinthians. And looking at verse number, or chapter number 11 and verse number 23. This is you and I today. Communion. I think many times, we aren't really taught communion. We aren't really taught the privilege of communion. We aren't really taught how communion affects our lives. Communion is only for believers. It's not for Christians that are outside the will of God. It's for Christians who are inside the will of God. You can't have communion with God if we're living outside the will of God. We have to come back to the very place where we met God, where we meet God, and where we restore our fellowship again. Oh, the relationship never changes. You're born again. You're born again. God says, I give unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish. But if you look here in verse number, chapter 11, verse 23, Paul writes this to us. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do, I underline that in my Bible, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth the Lord's death till he comes. What's communion about? It's for believers in the will of God taking these emblems to show forth the death of Jesus Christ in our lives. He died for us. We're to present that. We're to show that. Verse 28, it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, that's what I go back and say. Christian, in the will of God, take these emblems. Christian, outside the will of God, get back to that right fellowship again before you take these emblems. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily doesn't discern the Lord's body at all. It says, for this cause, many are weak, many are sick, and many sleep. In other words, die. So what's the consequences? For this cause, many weak or sick, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged with the world. You see, there's a lot about communion that's very, very, very important. First of all, a believer in the very fellowship of God. Self-examination, before we take these emblems, because we're presenting forth the very death of Jesus Christ. It's not something that I take flippantly. It's something that I take with emotion. We take these emblems today, speaking of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We examine ourselves first before we take up these emblems. As we pray, you say, well, how do I examine myself? It's like this. We know we're sinners. We sin every day, don't we? We sin every single day. Sins of commission and sins of omission, they're both the same. They're both just as guilty. So as we pray, we examine ourselves. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to be in a right fellowship with you, Father, in order to take these emblems. I want to be where you want me to be, because I don't want to take them unworthily. It's very, very, very important. Jim, lead us in prayer, will you please?
Heavenly Father, as we come and do the most sacred thing we can do here on earth, communion with you, search our hearts, Lord. David asked that you search him and see if there be any wicked. And you tell us in the New Testament here to examine ourselves that we might not be judged, that we might judge ourselves. And in the Bible there, you say, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So even for a moment, Lord, let us examine ourselves and you make us right, that we might take it easy. We would ask you for Christ's name.
Amen. Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. This do you as oft as you eat it in remembrance of me." Shall we take together? Can't lead us in prayer, please.
Father God, we know from your word that for the foundations of the world, you made a plan for us. And Lord, that plan involved sending your son to this earth, all the way from heaven, to be born as a little baby. Lord, we just understand also that the reason he came was to die, pay the price that you required, price that we couldn't pay. Lord, we just thank you so much for sending the very best heaven dad to save us from our sins, Lord. Just thank you in Jesus'
name. Amen. Jesus took the cup, said, "This is the new testament or the new covenant in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Shall we stick together? Let's all stand, please. Communion is always a glorious time for believers to take, and I hope it is for you. Father, thank you today for the privilege of being here, the privilege of sharing Christ, the true meaning of Christmas. Lord, you came, just like Kent's prayer said, you came. You came to die. You came to die for each and every one of us in this room. And you did. You died for each and every one of us in this room. We just hope today that everyone in this room realizes that fact that we're the item that you so loved. Father, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you for that glorious, glorious gift of Christmas, Christ, Christ alone. And we praise you in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Shake hands, please, before you leave today.